You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't do mock drafts, but I do enjoy them. Good morning to you. Good Thursday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is Daily Shot of Steelers. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into hockey and or baseball. I also offer daily shots of Penguins and Pirates, the other two teams in town that I cover. Went through a bunch of mock drafts last night. No reason for it. No deadline, no content I was looking to produce, including this. Just curious. Wanted to see what was out there. The first time that I do those, I'll go through a bunch, and I don't commit anything to memory. In fact, I feel like it's more viewing the landscape from an airplane. I'm not thinking about the names. I'm not thinking about the colleges. I'm thinking about the positions. I'm thinking about where the strength is in the draft. And I got to tell you, from flying figuratively high overhead, that this draft's got three quarterbacks at the top, a wide receiver at number four. Almost everybody seems to agree with that. The three quarterbacks, Marvin Harrison Jr. And then from there, and this is where it applies to the local club, it's a whole lot of offensive tackles and cornerbacks. And yeah, there's other stuff sprinkled in there, but you're talking about offensive tackles and cornerbacks. Occasionally, wide receivers pop into that, but that's only because there are a million of them. Most teams, I think, by now, including your favorite, prefer to hang on to the second round, even the third round, to get the receivers that they want. But offensive tackles and cornerbacks. Offensive tackles and cornerbacks. And I'm thinking about the Steelers, and I'm thinking about what it is that they've got, what it is that they've need, and maybe, just as relevant, what it is that they've already addressed or not. See, I'm with a lot of you when I say, I'd love to see a center. I'd love to see Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon, who ends up as the top center in almost all of these mocks. I'd love to see him come to Pittsburgh. I'd love to see him be the one who continues the lineage of Mike Webster, Ray Mansfield, Dermoni Dawson, Jeff Hardings, Marquise Pouncey. I probably forgot a bunch of other good ones in there and just rattling these off the top of my head. I'd love to see that. Symbolically alone, I think it'd be wonderful for this franchise to get back to having that iconic player at that position. And yet, I am nowhere near willing to commit to prioritizing the position. Why? Well, let's just talk about offensive tackles and cornerbacks. I would take an offensive tackle if the best player sitting there for me is an offensive tackle. No hesitation. Broderick Jones goes to the left, new kid to the right. Maybe not right away, maybe more per Broderick's pace as a rookie. by season's end, you'd have them both out there. You'd have your bookends theoretically set for the next decade, right? Sounds great. Also sounds logical considering that Mason Cole was just flat out cut. That was unceremonious. That wasn't one of those, hey, come back and check with us later. That wasn't, let's talk about an extension. Let's see what we can work out here. No, that was just cut. That was just go away. And past that, you haven't really seen the Steelers knock on too many doors of centers. You haven't seen centers come in for a visit to the South Side. These are all little things you want to keep an eye on as we get closer to draft day. They are inviting wide receivers. They might be in the mold of Allen Robinson as opposed to Brandon Ayuk, but they're bringing in wide receivers. They aren't bringing in centers. But that, to me, all of that, all of it, shouldn't apply to the first round. I'm going to be that old school guy who just insists up, down, and sideways that when you're drafting that high, meaning anywhere in the first round, your own top pick has to be best player available. Has to be. Picture that you're the GM in TJ Watt's draft year, and you know what TJ is going to be, or at least you think you know what he's going to be. And you get down there and you go, yeah, but I mean, we have edge rushers. We have people. We have. No. Doesn't matter. You take the best player. And the only exception that I can see to that is the one that the Steelers had for about a decade and a half at quarterback. That would have been dumb. First round pick on a quarterback would have been dumb. I wouldn't even rule that out right now. I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't rule it out. So if Powers Johnson is there, and most indications are that he would be because that's the range in which most of these mocks have him going, you think about it, you weigh it, but you don't take him just because he's a center. You say to yourself, hey, how many of these tackles did we really, really like? And how many of these tackles do we like, independent of all else, better than we like this center? How about the corners? Seems to be that we talk a lot more about the offensive line than we do about the secondary, but if you were to have Joey Porter Jr. and another first-round pick, and Joey was taken 32nd overall, I don't care about the technicality, he's a first-rounder, you would have two young, fresh, energetic, they'd be raw, they might be mistake-prone, but you would have yourself at an extremely important position all lined up for a lot of years to come. And if Corey Trice comes back healthy, great. Have three of them battle it out. Well, not Joey. Joey's in. The other two can battle it out. But you'll have depth. You'll also have a trade piece. And within that, Powers Johnson might fall. Zach Frazier of West Virginia, another center that's right up in that class and category, although he doesn't even make it into the first round of most mocks. You might just say to yourself, we have one of these two that's going to come down to us in the second round. You might circle the second round as where you would target the center and then let the wide receivers, all those wide receivers, one of them will make it to you in the third. Just having fun. Tomorrow, we're going to look at this from a different perspective. We're going to look at this from free agency, what's still left out there and how the Steelers might address some of their ongoing needs in that way. When we come back, J1Q. This segment of Daily Shot is brought to you by our good friends at Mike's Beer Bar. They're located on Federal Street, directly across from PNC Park. Mike has more than 500 beers on tap, including from more than 50 local breweries. Stop in and say hello. Tell Mike we sent you. Mike's Beer Bar.
Exciting news from Live Casino Pittsburgh's Poker Room. Join them this month for the Westmoreland 300 Multi-Flight Poker Tournament, March 7th through the 10th, with a $25,000 guaranteed prize pool, plus accrue hours every day until March 23rd, and come for an $8,000 cash drawing on March 24th, beginning at noon until 8 p.m. Also, during March, all 2-5 or higher Texas Hold'em players will receive a $40 food comp after playing for 1 hour. Any new players who mention DK Sports, that's us, at the Poker Podium, upon your first visit to the poker room, will receive a food comp after playing for 2 hours. More action, more winnings, only at Live Casino Pittsburgh's Poker Room. Follow Live Pittsburgh's Poker Room on X at LivePokerWML for promotion and tournament news.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Today's J1Q comes from Chris, who says, DK, the Steelers have added some coaches. Do you think that one of them, any of them, will be designated to watch plays that should be challenged? Good show, by the way. Hey, good question, by the way, Chris. There have been some additions. They're more of the lower tier types of additions. They get the one paragraph press releases as opposed to the whole bio that'll get distributed. But I can tell you that no matter how elaborate that bio might be, you will not ever, not in Mike Tomlin's tenure, find a syllable on it about whether or not they would be partaking in helping him judge replays. This is the classic case of one of those things that'll come up every January, meaning when the season is over. It'll come up with Tomlin. It'll come up with Art Rooney. And they'll all say, oh, yeah, we're looking at all kinds of different ways that we can do this. They never do. Because when football comes around this fall and the first replay situation hits, Tomlin's going to be looking up at the stadium scoreboard. And he might even do it on the road in a divisional opponent's stadium where they know that he does this. And why would they put it up on the board? Think about this. And by the time he stands there with his hands in his pockets, looking up at the scoreboard and watching Kiss Cam or something, hoping that the play gets shown, the time expires. And all of you either in the stands or watching from home, or all of us up in the press box are going, wow, how did he not throw the red flag there? And afterward, some jerk like me is going to ask him about it in the press conference, and he's going to come back with some convoluted thing about how he has a coach who's responsible for that, and they just didn't get it done in time. And there is someone who gets that assignment, at least in name. It was Brian Flores when he was here, but I never heard once Flores' name referenced in the season as it related to any such calls. So my guess is what this actually means is, you know, there's a bunch of people who are for real up there in the booth. And Tomlin encourages them that if they see something, to, hey, give me a shout. But it all goes through him. The red flag is in his hand and nobody else's. And I don't have to try very hard to compare and contrast here. Not even leaving our city. The Penguins employ not one, but two people watching every single sequence, studying anything that could result in a pivotal, critical, possibly, reversal. Now, there are also iPads on the Penguins bench, but they're still waiting for one of these two to get in touch with them and say, hey, we got it. They were offside. Challenge for offside. Head coach follows reflexively. The head coach doesn't ponder it. The head coach doesn't look down at the iPad. When he hears from one of those two, that's when Mike Sullivan signals to the referees, we're challenging. I don't have the Penguins success rate off the top of my head. It's not the kind of thing that gets tracked on conventional statistics. But they're really, really good at this. And it's got to be more than 95%. Nothing prevents the Steelers from doing the same thing other than, I don't know, being cheap and not wanting to hire a couple of kids. And that's who these are with the Penguins, by the way. They're younger people. Because a coach isn't going to have that same awareness. The coach isn't going to have that same equipment, the video equipment. The Pirates have someone similarly doing this. They're on the road with the team. They're armed to the teeth right there in the clubhouse with an array of equipment capable of checking every camera angle, everything, to let Derek Shelton know if he should use one of his manager's challenges. The Steelers are the only team in town that doesn't do this. And don't ask me about other cities or other NFL teams, because I don't cover them. I cover these. And the Pirates also have a very, very, very high success rate. It's only the Steelers who fire blanks at this all the time, and there's no reason for it. There's no reason for it other than one individual being either a super control freak or super stubborn, or both. I appreciate the question. Obviously a very good one. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Steelers. We're going to do another one of these tomorrow.